The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot in the United States
heavyweight. Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned the title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring. And you're a jam-up guy. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, he's 50 pounds.
Who am you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler.
Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of the NXT cast, or this will be the episode 1 singular of the NXT cast, because last week it was draped in with SmackDown Matters. It's me and Miss Didi Jonet reviewed NXT, so shout out to her for being a team player and putting a little extra work on her plate last week. But this week I'm back with the original tried and true co-host that will be on part of this show each and every week, my Dark Match co-host. So all the patrons already know her voice each and every week, but this will be new for the NXT cast. Hello, Miss Simi.
Hey, what's up?
I'm doing well. Glad that you could join me for the first inaugural official edition of the NXT cast with me and you. Been looking forward to talking and doing this for a few months, and now we're making it happen for real.
Yay!
And we're joined. You heard him on Tuesday's show as he reviewed Raw as only he can. It's the Monday Night Raw cast reporter himself, Mr. Samuel Colunga.
Howdy, howdy, everybody.
What's up, Sam?
Just been keeping an eye on these releases that we have here that we could talk about in a minute.
Yep. Just before we get into that, just let everybody know the NXT cast is part of the WrestleCast, which is a part of the CSPN. You can find the WrestleCast, subscribe to it through iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, all those good places that host podcasts. Just search for the WrestleCast-the CSPN, and you can also find us on the web at cspn.us. Before we talk about the host of releases from WWE and all the machinations around it, we have to first give an RIP to none other than the Fink. Howard Finkel, the first employee of the WWF, passed away today. He was 69 years old. He is considered the greatest ring announcer of all time. I think everybody has a version of, you know, when there's a title change and we would hear, and new Intercontinental Champion, or and new WWF Heavyweight Champion. So, Howard Finkel, definitely missed. Man, Mean Gene and the Fink gone. Dang.
Right.
Childhood just slipping away. So now, have to talk about some even sadder news. The WWE.
Well, we gotta talk about like some of our memories regarding Mr. Finkus Maximus.
Oh, well, go ahead there, sir. What you got?
Well, I mean, you know, naturally, like everybody else, like I grew up, you know, with hearing that voice. But one that I remember, I want to say it was like Kane versus Stone Cold, the first blood match. I think this is the one, but there was one where like he was completely confused, not confused, but just like he was kind of like slow on like what was happening. So he was just like the winner of this match, and then nothing, and then he wanted to like confer with the referee and everything. And then, like, you know, had to go a few times, and everybody was just, like, on the edge of their seat. Even Austin, who was bloody because of, you know, Undertaker's interference, was just like, what's going on? And then, he announced, and you, champion, Kane. And, like, everybody was just like, what? That was one that I'll never forget.
Miss Simi, you got any memories of the Fink?
Sadly, I don't. All I know is the voice.
Yeah, definitely an iconic voice. He was not only the ring announcer, but he was one of the office liaisons. A lot of times when people got called up or got hired by the WWE, he would be the one who would make that call and do the Fink voice. Hey, you know, you've been hired by the WWE.
And so that's awesome.
There's a lot of people talking about just getting that call and just the excitement and the way that he presented it to them on the telephone and things like that. So,
aw, that's cute.
Yes, 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 yes. So definitely a void in the wrestling business, especially in the WWF. Like I said, he was the first ever employee of the WWF. So definitely a big loss for them. Now to the releases, WWE, it's been a couple of years since they had one this big, but usually after WrestleMania, a handful of people usually cut some walking papers, but they released a host of talents as cost-cutting measures, they pointed out, due to the coronavirus and not running live shows and things, the merchandise sales being down, things like that. So among the people who were cut, who were in-ring performers, we have Drake Maverick, Zack Ryder, Curt Hawkins, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, Heath Slater, Eric Young, Rowan, Sarah Logan, No Way Jose, Mike Chioda, the referee, Mike Kanellis, Maria Kanellis, EC3, Aiden English, Leo Rush, Primo, and Epico. We also had some NXT folks that got caught up in this as Dan Matha, MJ Jenkins, Deano Purrazzo. Rusev was also a part of this as well. He got swept up in the releases. And then the producers, most of them were furloughed, but Kurt Angle was released. But the guys who were furloughed, Billy Kidman, Mike Rotunda, Pat Burke, Fit Finley, Sean Daivari, The Road Dogg, Sarah Stock, Shane Helms, and Lance Storm. Also, Hustle and Flow, Josiah Williams, he also got released. Aiden English, he got released. Serena Deeb, who was a coach at NXT, and Ace Steel, they got released. So just a bunch of people who had their whole lives turned upside down out of nowhere yesterday. As they stated, this is going to save them about $140 million in total revenue over the next year. It's basically $4 million a month that they saved. They said something like that. So they're looking at, you know, ways that they can keep their profits high because, you know, they got stockholders and stuff. So
that is false, sir.
They got to do some stuff. What you got?
Apparently, someone did the numbers and they said the salaries of everybody, like all together for the year, would have been about $8 million. As it stands right now, not running any shows or anything, they're still going to clear at least close to $1 billion this year.
So the TV money is still coming in full.
Yeah, the TV money is still coming in, merchandising, advertising, licensing, all that's going to come out to about $1 billion. So according to some experts, they say what they were trying to do was just basically help their stock brokers or help their stock people and also clear money away so they can build their new office.
Well, they stopped building the new office because of this. Like that was a part of it too. They stopped building a new office, and there's a whole bunch of other shit they listed on their website. But yeah, they halted the construction of the new headquarters.
Oh yeah, I mean clearly, because like the reason they were building it is to fill more people. They're not hiring anybody. You know, like that was literally the reason they were building the office, was to be able to fit more employees, which they're obviously not doing now. But
yeah,
like this whole like we're losing money thing, it just doesn't fly. Like I don't know.
I mean, they did lose money. I mean, Linda McMahon gave Florida $18.5 million out of thin air, and then WWE got called an essential business. So,
They'll be fine. I mean, come on. This was not breaking their backs. This was not breaking the bank. Vince McMahon's not going to go to the poorhouse. He's not going to have to break open his piggy banks.
I don't know. They got $500 million in reserve just for an emergency like this that they could have tapped into and kept everybody.
I mean, really, it just comes down to just spring cleaning. The reason they had this big bloated roster was to keep people from going to AEW.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess they just decided, well, we don't need these people anymore. So
and AEW goodbye. Probably can't hire the people.
Yeah, like, yeah, they're not hiring anybody right now.
Yeah, so
all these people who are like, oh, they're gonna go to AEW. No, they ain't. Not right now, anyway.
Yeah, you got a better chance of going to Japan when Japan opens up later next month than you do getting into AEW right now. So I mean, really though, besides Rusev,
maybe it was spring cleaning.
I mean, Leo Rush. Unless I'm looking through here, I mean, it was really.
Rusev wanted out.
Yeah, so. I mean, all of the wrestlers were pretty much low end to fringe acts anyway. So
it know. Was just like that because like this has been, I think this is the most that they've ever done in years.
Oh yeah. They usually do like 3 or 4 or 5 after WrestleMania. It might be like 1 here, 3 here, 1 here over like a 2 or 3 week period after WrestleMania, but not like a Black Wednesday like yesterday was, where they just was like one after the other after the other after the other all day long until you had this long list of people.
Yeah, and like there's still people rumored that I've been my sources say that there are others coming.
Wow.
So keep an ear out for that.
Jeez.
Yeah, they probably just didn't want to have back-to-back because this did not go over well at all yesterday.
No. Because look at this. Like, most of the roster was from Raw and NXT, so they still got some SmackDown folks to clear out.
And they were like, you know, a lot of these people had no idea that it was coming. They've been putting some of these people have been putting their safety in jeopardy, going down to Performance Center, taping these shows, getting on airplanes, interacting with people who in WWE actually contracted the virus as an on-air.
That one employee?
Yeah, the commentator.
Oh, yeah, so apparently they were saying that, like, he got in contact with this person after he went home from the show, and then he self-isolated, and then he found out he had it. So whether that's true or not, or they're just saying it for PR or what, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just so they could keep running, man. They didn't want to shut the shit down. And you know, if they would have came out and said somebody had it, everybody would have been like, oh, y'all need to shut the shit down.
That would have been the end of that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, Vince is doing what Vince does. If you watch the Jimmy Snuka behind Dark Side of the Ring this week, you know, Vince is
I still haven't watched that, but, like, I was listening to Busted Open Radio, and Tommy Dreamer was just talking about, like, he was actually defending him, which is kind of sick, but whatever.
I mean, you know, if you've got the means and you feel like you can get it done. If your top draw is about to get locked up for murder, you know, a little briefcase, a little negotiation ain't never hurt nobody. But yeah, so, you know, good luck to all the talent, all of the performers. The producers have a little bit different scenario. Most of those people are expected to be back, or at least most of them who want to come back are expected to be back.
Has that been confirmed? Because the person who was seeing this was a completely non-trustworthy source.
Yeah. I've heard that they've been furloughed,
or they just,
and they'll have the opportunity to, you know, get their jobs back. They have a better, you know, I'm not going to say all of them, but some of them will be rehired once things are back to normal. They better act fast, though, because if I'm AEW, I'm trying to get Fit Finley over to my women's division as quick as possible.
Hell yeah.
So, like, from the list that I've read, like, who do you think ends up where? Because I know EC3 is definitely going back to Impact with Spud.
I don't know, man. I just think You know, like, I think Anderson and Gallows, they'll probably land back in Japan.
Yeah, yeah, they're going back. You know, yeah, they've already said they're heading back over there.
So, but yeah.
Rusev, I could totally see Rusev in AEW.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are going to be hoping and wishing that AEW can give them a call or give them a look. Maybe some people go to the NWA when they get their thing up and running again. There's the NWA out there. They can always go do that. If they don't want to maybe commit to a full-on contract with just one of the majors again, they could do NWA and work indies and appear at a lot of different places. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where a guy like Eric Rowan lands with his size and, you know, what he can do out of that WWE system and structure.
Oh, yeah, you didn't see his indie career. He did some pretty out there stuff.
Okay, well.
Maybe. He's pretty, he's kind of a wackadoo.
Okay, well. And Primo and Epico just had to be sitting at home like, damn. Thought we were going to make it through one more.
There goes our money. They're going to have to call Uncle Carlos to straighten that out.
Yeah. They might get some backstage jobs as when the furloughs come and whoever doesn't come back.
Epicor. Because, you know, the Cologne family and the McMahon family, they're pretty, they're like bosom buddies.
And they're starting to push, you know, some Latino stars in a Latino faction. So they're going to, you know, need some intermediaries back there.
Need some translators.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Zelina Vega, but I mean, she can't be everywhere all the time. I mean, Aleister Black does have to have some time with her. So now we're going to talk about what we came here for, which was NXT. We open with highlights from last week. And then we have our first match. The Prince, Miss Simi's fave, Balor versus Fabian Aichner. Aichner hits the buckle bomb, but misses the knee strike, and he hits the steps. We get a sling blade to Barthel, and Finn follows with the John Woo, sending him crashing through the barricade. Aichner attacks Finn. Back in the ring, the double jump moonsault by Aichner misses. Finn hits the John Woo dropkick. Then he hits the double stomp, followed by the Bloody Sunday, and Finn Balor gets the win. So he's defeated two out of the three members of Imperium. There's two more left.
This was a good match.
Yeah,
it was really brutal.
It was good. Hard-hitting. Fabian Aichner.
Yeah.
He's very, very good.
That hit against the stairs, I was like, whew. You know, every time Finn is in the ring, I'm like, please, please don't get hurt. For the love of God.
We have a Charlotte video package. She says that
this was very well done. I really, really enjoyed this.
Yeah, it was good. And it just shows you, like, God damn, she done cleaned out the whole division. Right. She says that she's beat the past, the present, and now the future. She says she's made all the other horsewomen tap out. She left Ronda Rousey beaten at Survivor Series. She runs through Naomi. She's like, I've beaten Naomi, I've beaten Carmella, I've beaten Asuka, I've beaten this one, that one. She praises Trish. Yeah, she says you beat Trish. She praises the NXT women's division as being the best, discussing Rhea Ripley, Candice LeRae, and Io Shirai. But Charlotte says she wants to give Mia Yim the first title shot. She says Mia was her first ever opponent in NXT, and now they're in the same place at the same time. And she wants to pay it forward, and that Charlotte plans on running through the women's division.
This was a dope promo. I actually really like this promo.
Yeah, our man over at the Hill Heat podcast, Sean, Shaolin Shogun. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he has this taped somewhere, and he's probably got it on loop. For the past 12 hours, because he is like the big.
I actually went back to YouTube and watched it again. It was so good.
We have Xia Li versus Aaliyah. This is a grudge match because when Xia Li was going to compete against Aaliyah for the right to be in the women's ladder match, she got attacked in the back, and it comes to find out that Aaliyah was the one who did the attacking. So Xia Li is pissed. She comes out. It's like all systems go. She avoids the soldier charge by Aaliyah. She follows with strikes in the clothesline. She hits a drop kick, and then she hits the Robinson special. And Xia Li gets the win.
I like this match too. When she did that like roundhouse kick thing and like kicked her in the back, ooh, ooh, that looked like it hurt.
I don't know how her promo is, but she's starting to get a lot more confident in the ring, and her matches are starting to get a lot more crisp.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we tend to do in NXT, when we lose one of our faves, as we've lost Bianca Belair, usually a new fave somehow emerges, and Xia Li may become that new fave.
Yeah, she's real good. I wouldn't even mind if she just like spoke in Chinese or something.
Yeah.
When like how like Asuka and Kairi speak in Japanese.
Right.
Either.
Matt Riddle, he talks to Pete Dunne on the phone. Pete's going to pick his tag team partner for the night because, you know, because of the world situation, Pete Dunne can't fly into the country. So they have to defend the titles. So they're going to pick Matt Riddle a partner. But Pete's not going to tell him who it is. They are having the interim NXT Cruiserweight Championship Tournament, and that starts this week. They're doing a little bit different format than WWF. WWE usually does. They usually do kind of a single elimination bracket form. But this time they're doing the group type, so like more like World Cup soccer. So you have a group A and a group B. Everybody's going to wrestle the people in their group, and then whoever has the most points out of each group, they're going to face off at the end to become the interim Cruiserweight Champion. So our very first match is a match from the B block, and it is Tozawa facing off against Isaiah Swerve Scott.
Power display by Tozawa, but Isaiah Swerve Scott looking to change those plans. Now Scott trying to use his power in this matchup. Tozawa able to fend him off. Tozawa picking up speed. Oh, and into the octopus.
This is perfect positioning for Tozawa.
Center of the ring. Are we going to get a tap out in the very first matchup?
How much can Swerve Scott take? He's down to one knee, Tom.
Imagine if Tozawa is able to gain a submission victory to set the tone for this tournament.
Wow.
Great strength. Oh, great strength. But look at this.
Again, Akira Tozawa adjusting on the fly.
Yeah, it's a version of the Dragon Sleeper. Doesn't have it completely cinched in.
Says no.
Isaiah Swerve Scott has got his chin past the arm. So that's helping him here in this moment. And it was just falling to the canvas that hurt Tozawa in that moment. Now the body scissors.
Tozawa hanging on for dear life.
Into a guillotine now. Isaiah Swerve Scott trying to battle back against the stamina monster, Akira Tozawa.
Oh, oh man! Good
job by Scott.
You with me, huh?
Oh, now Scott. Now Scott trying to set up here on Tozawa. Tozawa drops his body weight, trying to slow down. Swerve. Oh, wait a minute. Now a cover. Cover. Hook to the leg and a kick out. Oh, kick right to the midsection. Went for the spin kick. Now Scott trying to keep up with Tozawa.
Tozawa one step quicker right now than Swerve Scott, but oh,
wow. Look at how fast Swerve's going out of the German suplex.
I take that back.
This is how badly these two want it. House call.
That's got
to
be it.
Right to the back of the neck. Could that be it? Hook to the leg. Tozawa kicked out at two.
Only two, Scott. Only two. Hey, come on. Wash those trunks and let him inside, Swerve.
Again, this is just the beginning of the interim NXT Cruiserweight Championship Tournament. Round robin style. Oh, kick right to the face.
Great balance displayed by Tozawa.
Yeah!
Oh, Tozawa sending Scott into the turnbuckles.
And how quickly Tozawa turns things around.
Tozawa with the kick and down goes Scott.
Now it's Tozawa, wasting no time. Tozawa headed all the way to the top.
And Swerve could be out cold. Akira Tozawa from the top right to the midsection. Tozawa putting his body on the line. And Tozawa racks up the all-important first victory.
Him here is your winner, Akira Tozawa.
I didn't expect that. Because Sky has been kind of in an upward swing. I thought he was going to win it.
I knew he was going to lose because his music was different again. He keeps changing his damn music. But he like produces his own music. So every time, like every two times he comes out, his music is different.
Right. I like the one that's just like the Scott, because that's like easy to chant.
The very first one was the best one to me, where it's like kind of like a laid back hip hop kind of beat. Yeah, that was my favorite one. But yeah, he's at like three different theme songs in the short time he's been in NXT. We get this cool El Hilo del Fantasma video package as he's going to be a member of this NXT Interim Cruiserweight Tournament. Can't wait to see him fly around in WWE. Now we have Tegan Nox versus Raquel Gonzalez. Gonzalez lands kicks.
Oh my.
And Nox is down. She slowly fires back and Gonzalez cuts her off with strikes. That's when Dakota Kai arrives and she starts attacking Tegan Nox. But fear not, because Shotzi Blackheart is here. She takes out Dakota Kai. Tegan Nox is able to cradle Raquel Gonzalez, and Tegan Nox gets the win.
Meh.
Poor Raquel.
Something don't probably over Tegan Nox with me.
You're not a Tegan Nox fan?
It's like she's all right. Like,
Doesn't do it for you?
Not really. Not all that much. I don't know what it is.
Something about her made me, when Dakota Kai attacked her, I was just like, good. I don't know what it was. But I was just like, you probably deserved it somehow. I don't know how.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
You know, she was a shady-ass friend to Dakota. Maybe that's it.
She's Lady Kane, the girl with the shiniest wizard.
Meh. I guess.
We get this really well done video package on Keith Lee. Basically, it just documents his trials and tribulations of getting into the wrestling business. Just like most people who have been a part of our podcast as guests, it was Keith Lee's grandmama who got him into wrestling. And she brought him up on that good old World Class, the Freebirds and the Von Erichs. But he said it wasn't until she introduced him to the Macho Man, Randy Savage, that it would really change his life and point him in the direction of professional wrestling. Then he talks about how he, you know, quit football, packed up everything he had in his car and went to go get trained. And, 13 years of paying dues and injuries and wrestling in front of, you know, very few people finally paid off. And now he's here. This was really good.
Yeah, I like this promo. Gives people a chance to get to know him outside just like the big dude who does like cool moves. I like that.
Dexter Lumis versus Tahuti Miles.
Did you get my message on this guy? He looks like he'd be in the Truth Commission.
Dexter Lumis?
Yeah.
Yes. Dexter Lumis.
Also. Yeah, he has that dead stare. And also, we get the local competitor from Raw.
That man's name is Tahuti Miles. He had an entrance this week.
Tahitian treat, whatever you call him, whatever.
He wasn't standing in the ring this week. He actually got an entrance. Put some respect on his name. But anyway, he ate a spine buster, and he got put to sleep with the Anaconda Vice. Dexter Lumis is your winner.
Oh. Whatever. Tahuti's still fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't know this person, so you gotta show me. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Adam Cole, baby. Still isn't here, so there's no face-to-face with the Velveteen Dream. He's chilling at his home inside his pool. The little structure there. See the sun shining. Palm trees in the back. He basically says that, it ain't happening. He ain't earned the match. He's not worthy of the match. Adam Cole is doing his best because he's concerned with, you know, everybody staying safe. Well, that's the reason why he's not been showing up the past few weeks. He's doing his due diligence. And he says that, you know, Velveteen Dream's never going to get a title shot. It's kind of the same thing he's been saying for this past few weeks. So Velveteen Dream comes out. he's at a podium like he's a president or something. He says that Cole is the last remaining champion in Undisputed Era and that his dream is going to be over really soon. That's when Finn Balor all of a sudden appears behind Dream. That's because Velveteen Dream called Adam Cole arguably the greatest NXT champion ever, and Finn Balor has some he has some alternate thoughts about this.
He went skirt.
Finn says that he doesn't know or like Velveteen Dream. He says he's never even said anything to Velveteen Dream. But he says, so this will be the first. He says when he's talking about the best NXT champion ever, he needs to be careful. Because if he's not talking about Prince Balor, those ignorant comments will get him a date with the prince. So Velveteen Dream, being the smart aleck that he is, says, hey, Finn, why don't you come pick me up next week?
I'm excited.
Now, I don't know if it's actually going to happen because I have a list of things that are going to happen next week. Jack Gallagher versus El Hijo del Fantasma. Drake Maverick versus Jake Atlas. Those are both the NXT Cruiserweight tournament matches. These are all tournament matches, actually. Kushida versus Tony Nese as well. And then we're going to have a tag team match. Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. They're going to face off against Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Nox.
Go, Raquel.
Now it's time for our main event of the evening. Our man, Pete Dunne, shows back up on the screen. He says, hey, due to the circumstances, I can't be there to help my man Matt Riddle defend the titles. But I got somebody who's just as tough, and he's definitely going to hold me down while I'm still abroad. And he announces that Matt Riddle's tag team partner for this match is Timothy Thatcher, former Evolved Heavyweight Champion.
Finally he makes it to the big time.
Thatcher runs wild with suplexes, strikes, and uppercuts. The enziguri follows, and the armbar follows until Roddy makes the ropes. Thatcher follows with chops and slaps. He takes out Fish as Fish manages to tag in and take control slightly. Roddy counters with a gut bust at the Thatcher, followed by a flying knee from Fish for a near fall. Riddle lands a spear to Fish, then he hits, but he gets hit with a knee by Roddy, so he gets taken out. Roddy then hits a knee to Thatcher, but then Thatcher grabs Roddy up in the Fujiwara armbar, and Roderick Strong has to tap out as Matt Riddle and Timothy Thatcher retain the NXT tag team titles.
Yay! I like this Timothy Thatcher.
Oh, yeah. This is a hard-hitting match.
Right. I was like, oh, he's dope.
Yeah, he wrestles straight-up British style.
Welcome aboard.
Oh.
Welcome aboard, Timmy. Welcome aboard the Thatcher train.
Yeah, he was definitely impressive. The way that they laid this match out, he got to be the star and shine. Matt Riddle did his normal Matt Riddle things. Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish did their normal Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong things. And it allowed Timothy Thatcher to be the star of this match, which was really good. Good showcase for him.
After I was wondering where he had ended up because he left Evolve like 2 years ago. Like he lost like his title. He lost his title match. Oh, he lost his title and then he literally disappeared. And I never knew what happened to him. And then now he's popping up in NXT.
Yeah, or at least NXT UK coming up, maybe. After the match, Tommaso Ciampa is in the back and he says he's done with all this. He's done with Johnny. He's done with Candace. He's kind of shaking his hair, rubbing his forehead. He's like, man, we agreed that when it's over, it's over. Whoever wins, wins. He says, Johnny, you and Candace showed the world. So congratulations, Johnny Gargano. You were the better man. And then all of a sudden, Tommaso Ciampa gets snatched up from behind. He gets attacked. We hear a bunch of stuff clanging and banging. And next thing you know, we see Tommaso Ciampa face down on the floor. And then he appears. Killer Cross makes his second on-camera appearance. as he lays down beside the fallen Ciampa, and he says, "Tick tock."
Now, would this have been better if they just showed his boots and nothing else, and then save that for the next week, the reveal?
I think everybody pretty much knew what it was. I thought that it was going to be...
Well, I had no clue that what was happening. So.
I thought it was going to be him attacking Ciampa in the warehouse because they were outside the warehouse. But this was more of them just being backstage. So yes, Killer Cross is officially here. They changed his name to something else though. I guess we'll get that next week.
By Djokovic.
I hope not. Let me see if I can find it right quick.
I think they said they changed it to Karrion Kross or something.
What?
That's what the Google is telling me.
I'm pretty sure that Seth Rollins is not happy about that.
No, there's a local guy here named Karrion who's been like a veteran for like 20 something years. He would not be happy about this either.
Yeah, it's Karrion Kross. C-A-R-R-I-O-N. Carrion means the decaying flesh of dead animals. So they wanted to keep the alliteration, so they swapped the C for a K. But yeah, there you go.
Interestingly enough, I have a friend, an IRL friend, whose legit last name is Carrion. But she's a really nice person.
Yeah, so Scarlett Bordeaux and Karrion Kross are here in NXT. I'm pretty sure we'll get some type of promo or explanation in the next coming weeks to why Tommaso Ciampa is the man that is on his radar screen. But if you're familiar with Killer Kross from his Impact days, guy can really talk. He's a really good wrestler. So it'll definitely be a great addition to NXT. I'm pretty sure Triple H is just, got his, thoughts and all kinds of places of what he can do with this guy. He's definitely going to be the...
I have the same thoughts about Scarlett.
...main event heel in NXT in just a short, short time.
At least it's not a Gargano Ciampa rehash again, because when he got attacked, I was sure that was it. I was like, not again. But I'm glad it was somebody else.
This was a really good episode of NXT. I really liked this. I liked this a lot. It wasn't as good. I thought the first half of last week's show was fantastic. That six women ladder match was a banger.
Yeah. It was basically like Mia Yim versus Io Shirai with like... little bits of Dakota like sprinkled in, which I would have rather seen that.
So that was really dope last week, and then I followed it up this week with just a really good episode from top to bottom. It was cool to see Tozawa get a win. Haven't seen him really get a win in a long time. Get to see Timothy Thatcher debut in somewhat of a big time stage here on NXT with Matt Riddle. Like I said, that match was put together so he could shine. And then the Charlotte Finn promo definitely was great. And then Finn Balor to kick off the show. The Finn and Velveteen Dream interaction, definitely something I didn't know I needed until then. And we'll see, if they actually do give us that match next week. Because as we all know, card subject to change.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if it's just like... another like interaction or whatever, I'll be fine with that. Like, let us build more to it. I'm fine with that.
For sure. All right, Miss Simi, just some overall thoughts that you had on NXT before we get to the shout outs and thank yous.
I liked this week. It was really good. It wasn't as good as last week. I enjoyed last week better, but I liked this was a good solid show. It gave me like things that I wanted. I really liked the Zaya Aaliyah match. I wouldn't mind seeing another like little feud thing with them because I don't mind Aaliyah. I kind of like her and I like her gear. And I want to see more of like Dakota and Raquel like be a like dominant force. And Finn and Velveteen Dream is great. So I really like this show. It was a good solid.
Mr. Samuel Kalunga, do you have a Sour Patch rating for this week's NXT?
Well, not really because don't watch this all the time, so I had no clue what was going on. It was just a dope show. I'll try to watch next week. I mean, now that I'm living the quarantine life like the rest of y'all, I have a lot of time on my hands.
Did you see your girl, Asia Pereira, doing her referee thing?
Yeah, she was doing the women's match, and I was like, oh, snap, it's Asia Pereira.
Oh, yeah, yay. That was exciting. I was like,
she hasn't been doing anything. She's been at home, like, this whole time.
Yeah, I think, like, a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, they announced that she was going to be the first, you know, female African-American referee in the company. So I guess she gave up the training.
She did nothing.
Well, she got to learn the rules how to become a referee,
She'd already been doing it for a while. She'd already been there for a while. They just announced her.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure you got to go through some extensive training to know the rules. Like,
what I'm saying, the training she'd already gone through, that's when they announced her.
Oh, yeah. Half the wrestlers, like, they wrestle, but they don't know the rules. Stone Cold was like, man, he was like, I was a guest referee. He was like, I've been wrestling for, like, 12 years at the time, but shit, I didn't know half the damn rules. So, yeah, but yeah, it's real cool to see that. I don't know if it was injuries or just maybe she kind of read the writing on the wall and was like, hey, you know what? If I position myself here, I'll be more valuable than one of the many, many faces in this performance center. So good for her to find an alternate lane and still be able to be a part of the company and be seen on TV weekly. So good luck to Asia Pereira in her refereeing duties as she continues to move forward. So at this time, go ahead, Sam.
Oh, sorry. My Facebook friend, Cassandra Golden, was on AEW.
Yes. Yeah. She caught a beating from our new fave, Britt Baker.
Yeah. I noticed that. I was like, man, that was brutal.
She looked great. I like how
Jericho was like, look, she makes her own patients, see?
Yeah, that was funny.
So, Miss Simi, at this time, I'll turn it over to you for your shout-outs and thank yous.
Shout out to Sam. Shout out to you, Don. Shout out to the WrestleCast family. And excited to do more of this show.
All right. Thank you for joining me on your first edition of the NXT Cast. Looking forward to doing this each and every week with you, Miss Simi, for your insight and commentary with color. Mr. Samuel Kalunga, your shout outs and thank you, sir.
Shout out to you guys for having me on for this little quick little thing right here. I'm sure you guys will knock it out the park every week. I just came on just to talk about the recent firings. I was actually going to do a show last night, but I turned on my Hulu and I saw McMillions was on there, so I decided to watch that instead. But thank you, Don. Oh, you need to watch it, Sammy. It's great. So thank you guys, and that's it for me.
All right. I'd like to thank Sammy and Sam for joining me here. I'd also like to thank Miss Dijonay, Magnum Prime, Classic, Jade to the Max, all the ladies of the glow, everybody who listens to the podcast, uses the hashtags. Thank y'all so much. Please support us over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media, where you can hear me and Miss Simi talk about AEW as we review Dynamite each and every week on a little show we call The Dark Match. Also, check out our brand new show over there on the Patreon page called The Push, as Heel Heat, the Heel Heat podcast, and the O-Face Wrestling podcast. They combine to talk about the current situation with the coronavirus and how it is affecting the pro wrestling that we all love and watch each and every week. So go over to the Patreon page, check that out. It is also available for free, as it is the pilot episode, through the WrestleCast or the Heel Heat podcast. So you can check out that pilot episode for free, but all the episodes after that will be a part of our Patreon. So please support the Patreon, help us, keep our subscriptions to WWE Network and New Japan going, and things like that. So that's what all that good money goes towards, keeping the streaming services alive so we can give you the content and the reviews each and every week. So for my co-host, Miss Simi, and our special guest, Mr. Samuel Kalunga, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Typical. Typical Adam Cole. Typical of you to no-show the dream tonight. You leave the dream here all alone in this big old building, what, to play video games? It's obvious you were busy earlier today. I mean, you cut that video when the sun was still out. You think the dream really is stupid? You really believe the words that come out of your mouth, Adam Cole? Because the dream thinks a lot of you. The dream thinks you fancy yourself some kind of a mastermind of the Undisputed Era. Adam Cole, you fancy yourself as the leader of the Undisputed Era. What the dream knows you as is the last remaining champion of the Undisputed Era, Adam Cole. Arguably, the greatest NXT champion of all time, Adam Cole. Undisputedly, you are the longest reigning champion of all time, Adam Cole. But when it's all said and done, Adam Cole, the dream wants you to remember two words, baby. Dream over.
I don't know you. I don't like you. And up until this point, I haven't said one single word to you. So this will be my first. When you talk about the greatest NXT champion of all time, you're looking at him. So be careful, because ignorant comments will get you a date with the prince.
A date with the prince. How about you be a gentleman, Finn, and pick the dream up, let's say, next Wednesday night.